Hello, everyone. So glad to have you joining us today. Let me open us with Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. And all God's people said, amen. Well, let's turn our hearts to that praise and thanks to him this morning as we worship together.
Clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power. Chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Open up the gate, make way before the King of The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lion. Sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
to that. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine. I have surrendered to your design. May this suffering stretch across. Your love, your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come by. Singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this suffering stretch across. God of mercy, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May that suffering stretch across. Just one crown could rule and reign here till the darkness has bowed down. So hear your people as we pray, humbly seek your face. We seek your face. Whatever you want, whatever you ask, our lives are yours, we gladly lay them in your hands. Set revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven, fills the earth. Whoa. one love and just one hope. To unify this great divine and make us whole. A royal priesthood for your faith, a people called by your great name, by your great name. Start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven, fills the earth. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here as one, we're unified to see your glory in our lives. For your King. For your name, Holy Spirit, have your way. Here as one, we're unified. See your glory in our lives. For your kingdom, for your name, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Whatever you want, whatever you ask. Our lives are yours, we gladly lay them in your hands. Set revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven, fills the earth. Whoa.
Good morning, Avalon Community Church, and God bless each and every one of you. And we thank you for joining with us on this precious Pentecost Sunday, May 31st. And I know you all want to join me in giving John and the worship team a big thank you for the amazing job that they're doing in leading us in worship. John and the group, your faithfulness has been felt by all, and we thank God for all of you. And we're excited and we praise God that on Monday of this last week, the state of California issued guidelines for the safe reopening of churches. And on Tuesday, LA County gave a green light for churches to offer in-person services as they follow the state's directives. We're so excited about meeting together again soon. So continue in your prayers. Prayer is working. Now, obviously, we didn't get everything that needed to be done finished by this Sunday, so we're continuing this week with the online audio format that we've used the last couple of months. There is plenty of work to be done in preparing for all of us getting to get together again, and at this point, church leadership is working hard to put into place all the steps necessary to meet together in our building. We also want you to know that we are pursuing possible outdoor locations where we could gather with a bit more freedom and safety during the next few opening weeks to come. And if anyone would like to help prepare for reopening, we're putting together a team to help get the building ready for safely meeting together and a group to help with setting up for any outside services that we may choose to have. If you are willing to help us, please email us at acc90704@aol.com. That's acc90704@aol.com. I know we're all excited to meet and worship together again. The body of Christ united as one. But until we're fully back in our building, let's continue to show grace and patience to one another in our words and our deeds, knowing our Heavenly Father is in control. And that he calls us, above all, to love one another. And he also calls us to continue to serve our community, as he has also told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. You've done amazingly well so far. So let's keep up the good godly work. Amen. Amen. Well, this being Pentecost, I want to start out this morning by reading from the book of Acts, Luke's account of Jesus' ascension and account of the Holy Spirit's coming to earth. So Acts, parts of chapter 1, parts of chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, the book of Acts. The first account I composed, Theophilus, is about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It happens to be about 10 days later that the Holy Spirit falls. So the 40 days that Jesus was with them from the resurrection to his ascension, and the 10 days until from the ascension to the falling of the Holy Spirit, the 50 days make up the 50th, of which Pentecost is all about. So when they had come together, verse 6, when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with the brothers. And the rest of Acts 1 is about them electing the 12th disciple. So we go on to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to those who were gathered, Men of Judea, and all you who would live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. And then he goes on to give the first extraordinary proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first sermon of the gospel of Jesus given by man on earth, somebody other than Jesus. And he ends that sermon with this, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And now when they had heard this, they were pierced, those who had been listening, were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And all God's people said, amen. And that was an account of, indeed, the first Pentecost. And we see that on that first Pentecost, a miracle of tongues happened to the 120 believers who were in the temple courts. And I'm not talking about the tongues of fire appearing on their heads. I mean, that's one thing. But the bigger miracle was the Holy Spirit giving the gifts of tongues, gift to speak in languages that they never had spoken in before, proclaiming to people of all ethnic groups the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, beloved, the miracles on that day were not just miracles of tongue. More importantly, they were miracles of the heart. As we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when they heard this, meaning the incredible sermon that Peter had given, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And to this Peter responds, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and let the Holy Spirit do his heart work. The power of Pentecost was seen publicly that day. 3,000 plus repented and were saved. However, I believe that Pentecost is best felt, not seen. It's a process that is best experienced personally, not just observed publicly from a distance. Amazingly, beloved, this is exactly the process that David is having happen to him as he writes Psalm 51. It's personally happening. He's processing through his own personal Pentecost in Psalm 51. We're in a series on the Psalms, and today we're going to go deep into the very heart of the matter of human sin in Psalm 51. Because in there, David reveals the power behind personal Pentecost. Open up in your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and you're blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. But restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. And all God's people said, Amen. Before David mentions the use of his tongue, his far greater concern was his heart. He prays in Psalm 51, verse 10, Create in me a clean heart, not a clean tongue. Our tongues may stop speaking, but if our hearts stop beating, well, that's it. You know, game over. So the heart is very important, physically and spiritually. In Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, David writes, Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And that's what David was really praying about here in Psalm 51. No, he's not concerned about how physically clean his heart is, but how spiritually clean, how pure, how holy, how righteous it is. That's what's important in approaching a holy God. And who would know better than David, a man after God's own heart? David's problem is that his heart had not just been broken in two. No, the prophet Nathan had actually blown his heart completely apart. Nathan used a parable about a poor man and his pet lamb being slaughtered by a rich neighbor who had hundreds in his herd. But instead of using one of his to feed his friends and party with them, he actually stole the poor man's pet lamb. And in that parable, Nathan helped David to realize what he had done himself, personally. He'd murdered one of his best fighting men by the name of Uriah in order to steal his wife after he'd coveted her and committed adultery. David, who could have any woman that he chose. God would have given him anything he wanted, but instead, David stole what was his neighbor's. In reality, David's already convicted. He felt dirty. He felt filthy. He felt evil. He felt like a piece of garbage that God should just throw away. Nathan burst David's heart's final layer of denial. And that's what caused him to write these verses, verses 1 through 9. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your greatness, the greatness of your compassion. I plead you would blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me, and against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that, yes, you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden parts you will make me know wisdom. So purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all of my iniquities. Yeah, most likely David's been living for a year or so in guilt and fear, feeling apart from God. He's covered up his sin, so he doesn't feel good about what he's done. He doesn't feel good about who he is. And as a result, in Psalm 51, he doesn't find much joy in life. The person who God once called a man after his own heart no longer felt sure of himself, no longer felt sure of his identity as God's king, as God's child. He doubted himself. He doubted his decisions. He no longer was confident and assured. David couldn't enjoy the birth of his own child without feeling guilty. He couldn't enjoy the company of his new wife without thinking to himself, I stole and murdered for this woman. He doesn't feel good about life. His guilt makes him feel unsure, unhappy about anything and about everything. No, he doesn't have even the energy to play with his child or to feel the love and talk to his new bride. So he prays, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 10. In modern days, what would we call what David's going through? What we would call this? You're right. We call it depression. I've heard depression described as sinking down to the bottom of an ocean with the weight of all the water on your shoulders and yet not drowning. Yes, it can be a physical response to when certain elements are not being supplied to the brain, but it can also be a response to guilt. And it may be a problem facing many who are listening today. You have no energy, no joy, no comfort or confidence because of something that we did years ago or something that may have happened to us that really wasn't our fault, but we feel guilty about it anyway. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 through 20, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things make a man unclean. For it's out of the heart that come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. It's not the things that go into us, it's what we already have within, in our heart, that produces the evil that we do. Isaiah says this before David in Isaiah 64, verse 6. He says, all of us have become like one who's unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We're all shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Since we're naturally sinful people, we'll struggle daily to cover it up, cover up our sin, deny our guilt. And in Psalm 51, David's right. Sin's part of our essence. Our hearts are unclean from birth, from conception, actually, on. Sooner or later, that guilt, that despair catches up with us and slows us down, weighs us down, even as Christians, or especially as Christians. Sometimes we get so burdened with our problems, with our sin, that we don't have the energy to do anything. We don't go to church. We don't work. We can't carry on relationships. We just want to sleep, to be alone. And like David, we need divine help. David knew he needed something more than Prozac to help his spirit. He knew he needed something more than a heart transplant, you know, a fancy fabricated heart or another person's heart. No. David knew he needed divine intervention. He needed something only the divine doctor could do. Only the divine doctor could create. Only the divine doctor could renew, could restore. He needed a miracle from God himself. So he says in Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. But restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Here David prays, create, renew, restore, sustain. These are the things that David asks God to do, that God only can do. For he knew that's exactly what it would take to purify his own heart again. Create, renew, restore, sustain. Those are the mechanisms of this miracle that's needed. God would have to take David's heart and his spirit piece by piece and remake them, mend them together, basically creating something completely new. It'd take a miracle of God to enable David to feel comfortable about his standing before God again, and finally regaining the joy of life again. So he prays for God's help. He prays for the Holy Spirit's help. Beloved, today God says something very similar to us. He says, I know your broken hearts. I know the baggage that you're all carrying, the sexual sin, the anger sins, the dirty, rotten, secret sins that make all of you feel guilty, eating away at all of your seemingly happy fronts, your happy exteriors. And only I have the cure for you. The cure is found in Peter's Pentecost sermon, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, and in the name of Jesus Christ, find the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Actually, the cure is found earlier, again, back in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, which says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they'll be like wool." The new heart is created when God promises that it's by grace we've been saved through faith, as Paul tells those in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. In God's eyes, our forgiveness, our salvation, isn't based on how good we feel. It isn't based on how good we've been. It's based on, it's established on Jesus dying for the sins of the world a little over 2,000 years ago. And that's a fact. It's an established fact. Everything that Jesus prayed for, everything that we need for peace of mind is found in Christ. Everything that David desires is found in Christ. In Christ, we find cleansing. We find a foundation. We find the joy of salvation. When we can say, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin, but Jesus died for me and made the sacrifice I deserve, then we can know that we've been given that gift of faith through the Holy Spirit. When we can trust that God is going to bring us to heaven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then we know that the Holy Spirit has done his job when we realize that we have eternal life. When we can say Jesus Christ is Lord in faith and by faith, we know that the Holy Spirit has worked a miracle in our hearts. We know the miracle of Pentecost has been repeated in us because we literally are speaking a language that we never knew before from hearts that we've never had before. So finally, Jesus Christ's gospel message of repentance and forgiveness penetrates David's heart, even though Jesus Christ has not even been born yet. The Holy Spirit gives that same gospel message to David's heart. And the Holy Spirit, who is the essence behind Jesus Christ's gospel message and the power behind it, recreates, renews, restores David's heart even before Jesus' time on earth. Because God is merciful. And God is the one who recreates. God is the one who renews. God is the one who restores David's spirit. God is one who allows him to continue on as king. Why was this so important to David? Well, he answers at the end of Psalm 51. Then, after I am renewed, after I am restored, after I feel the joy of salvation again, then I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. And then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips so my mouth can declare your praise. For you don't delight in sacrifice, otherwise I give it. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, that you will not despise. And all God's people said, Amen. It was David's desire to get back involved in kingdom building, to regain his place in God's plan to save the world. Up to this point, his life had been an embarrassment to God, one that made people wonder, just what kind of a God do the Israelites have? David prays that God would once again make him a teaching tool to lead others to him, to God. Instead of being used to spread lies, David wants his tongue to be used to spread God's righteousness once again and to sing God's praises. For it's important for each of us to remember the main purpose of Pentecost. No, it wasn't that a bunch of disciples actually did speak in different tongues. Now, the ultimate purpose was and is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ultimate purpose was and is to preach Christ crucified and risen. Remember, when the apostles did so on that very first Pentecost, 3,000 plus were brought to faith that one day. So shouldn't that also be the main focus of our lives? In this life that we are living post-Christ, our families, our friends, our communities need us to use our tongues to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to continue his work as he is in heaven, as he has sent the Holy Spirit for us to work with us in doing just that, continuing the work of Jesus, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how often are we using our tongues instead to insult one another, to talk about politics and sports, anything but the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? But the truth is, beloved, as miraculous as it may seem, God still wants to save us, and he wants to use us. 50 days before, Peter used his tongue to deny Jesus, and Jesus forgave him, reestablished him, and used Peter's tongue to save 3,000 people for God's kingdom. With David, God uses the same tongue that lied to produce many powerful, wonderful psalms that we still love today. And our God is so merciful that instead of tearing out our tongues and ripping out our hearts for our misuse of them, he gives us second, third, or even 409th chances, all through the sacrifice of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his marvelous work in his Son, Jesus, and for sending his Holy Spirit to recreate, to renew, to restore us. Later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, Luke writes about Simon Magus, a.k.a. or also known as Simon the Sorcerer, Simon the Magician. He was a Samaritan who was able to do seemingly miraculous things. Philip did proclaim the gospel to Simon, and he was converted to Christianity. He was baptized. And one day when he was watching, Peter and John placed their hands on some disciples, filling those disciples with the Holy Spirit, who then allowed them to speak in different languages. He offers Peter and John money and says, "Give this ability also to me, so that everyone I lay hands on can receive the Holy Spirit." Chapter 8, verses 18 and 19 of Acts. And this didn't set well with Peter, as you can imagine. And Peter replied, "May your money perish with you, for you thought that you could buy the gift of God with money. Well, you have no part or share in this ministry, for your heart is not right before God." Chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. Your heart is not right before God. Before he, Simon Magus, could have any gifts, first his heart would have to be right. And that's the same for us. To this day, what is called the act of simony, paying for position or influence in the church, yes, is named after Simon Magus. Beloved, we may wish that we had more courage. We may wish we had more ability to speak out for Christ, to speak out about Christ. We may plan on being better husbands, wiser teachers, more faithful son and daughters. We may dream of proclaiming Jesus Christ overseas, but remember where these abilities begin. Simon couldn't buy it. The disciples of Pentecost didn't do anything to earn it. They simply went where Jesus told them to go, Jerusalem, and did what he told them to do. Wait. Wait until the power from on high. Wait for the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the courage to proclaim Jesus Christ, then we need our own personal Pentecost. I suggest we connect back to the Holy Spirit who's indwelling within us, those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Connect back with the Holy Spirit to God's Word. Connect back to God via His sacraments. Because the more we read God's Word, the more our hearts are filled with God's gospel, filled with God's grace. The more we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, the closer our connection will be to Him. And the more confident we will be. For all this will help us know that we are sinners who are saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and are empowered then by His Holy Spirit to do the continued work of Jesus Christ on earth. And after our own personal Pentecost, with amended heart, we'll slowly but surely find ourselves able to speak more about Jesus Christ, as well as willing to sing His praises. But let's realize, beloved, that the power of Pentecost, both then and now, isn't found in the tongue. It's found in the heart, where Jesus Christ dwells through His Holy Spirit. And it isn't based on how we prepare our tongues, our lips, our mouths for proclamation, but how personally we prepare our hearts for examination. Examination based on the mercy of God in Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. Personal Pentecost is a process in which the entire Trinity is involved. And that, beloved, is not just good news for us. No, it's great news for everyone. Let's pray. Great and glorious God, I thank You. I thank You for loving us enough to send Your only Son, Jesus, to die so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be recreated, we might be renewed, we might be restored to a life that You consider acceptable enough to continue to work for You, for Your kingdom. You know that sin has made us unclean from our conception, and yet Your plan includes renewing and restoring us to be useful in rebuilding Your kingdom, and for us to find the fulfillment that only You can bring, and that only working for You and building Your kingdom can bring. So through the power of Your Holy Spirit, I pray You would allow each of us to see our sin fully for what it is and to move beyond its immobilization to repentance, and for us to find the forgiveness that only You can give. And then, again, only through the power of Your Holy Spirit, help our mouths to be motivated to proclaim Your greatness and to give You the glory You so richly and rightly deserve. And it's in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus, and through the amazing power of Your Holy Spirit, Father, that we pray these things. Amen. Thank you again for joining us this Sunday. And now, John, lead us in response.
Where can I run from Your love?
Thank you all for joining us today. A couple things. As we do prepare to open, as we get protocols in place, and again, we'll let you know when that is, but we know it'll hopefully be very soon. We will be continuing to offer our online services and our online study groups. That has been a very vibrant ministry and very good to be involved in, by the way, for just connection and prayer and study in the Word through the week. And so we do continue to encourage you to get connected in those. You can check that out on our website or reach out to our leadership. Be glad to get you involved in those. But we're going to continue on in offering that because we do know for some that are in the vulnerable population or just have some health restrictions that it'll take some time before you yet be able to join some of those gatherings. And we understand that. And we honor you and your stay-at-home choices. But we want you to know that ministry will come to you where you are, and we're going to continue those on. Can I also just say thank you for those that have just been able to faithfully give in this time as the Lord has been providing for you, that you have been giving of your tithes and offerings. Ministry here would not be possible without the partnership of you in this endeavor as we see how the Lord provides for our needs and how He would meet the needs in our community and around us. And use us as people that can be those agents of bringing hope and joy and transformation to our community. So thank you for your prayers and your support. Again, you continue to give online and or you can mail in at our P.O. Box. Lastly, I just want to leave you with a blessing and a prayer of the Lord over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. God bless you.